You there, person watching the TV.
How do you know I'm here?
It is I, TV man.
You're in the TV?
Yes, I'm in the TV. Hey, you wouldn't mind injecting yourself with a syringe, would you?
How did the TV get a syringe?
Would that be weird? Hey, it's let me just, there it is. It's a nice, perfectly good syringe.
Yeah, I see. It looks like a big syringe. Yeah, I mean, it has a lot of heft to it. Where'd you get this? Man, this is a big needle.
It's just abnormally large. Anyways, you need nitrates. So I just came here to deliver those nitrates. So just why don't you just inject yourself with that?
Well, okay. I mean, if the TV says so.
Yeah.
Probably just a government test, you know.
Oh, yes, the government. Uh-huh. Yes. Also, we're going to need you to put this dildo up your ass.
Well, if my government wants me to.
Dan, I like the podcast shirtless.
You know what, Jared? That is like the best opening line to any podcast ever.
It is. I know it is.
Audience, Jared likes to podcast shirtless.
I just want you to picture two dudes.
One with a shirt, one without.
Yeah, one with no shirt on. Okay, does that do anything for you? I thought so. Hey, guys. This is the Indie Film Review, you know? That's all I have to say, really. I'm Jared, and Dan is also with me.
As I always am, doing
Hello,
the podcast.
Dan.
Hello,
are you?
Jared. I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine.
Oh, I'm doing fine. Everything is fine. So, on this show of podcastings, we like to review independent films. Who would have thought?
Yes. And this week, we scattered out a film from Netflix. It's not a Netflix original film, but it's definitely a independent film from across the pond.
Ah, yes.
In
Africa.
England?
Oh, England.
We would say this is a British film.
British film. Okay. Called Await Further Instructions. Came out last year, I believe.
Yes.
Relatively
new.
We're going to talk about it. Let's go. So
actually,
first, no
came
spoilers.
Out not too long ago. It was first released October 5th, 2018. So it's fairly recent still.
Yes. And this was a film. Well, first, Dan, why don't you give us the synopsis and then I'll get into it a little bit.
Sure. A family holiday dinner gets ruined by the English government? Question mark?
Oh, no. And they're coming through their TV, right?
They're coming through their TV.
Yeah. So they keep getting these weird prompts from the TV to do different things, and they think the government's telling them what to do. And chaos ensues. Is that a...
Yes.
General...
It's one of those fucking movies where, like, you put people in a closed space and then watch them go crazy. And
yes, it's...
I've said multiple times that I'm a sucker for this type of movie. I don't care how shitty it is. I'm probably gonna watch it. I don't know why.
I love them, too, where it's, people wake up in a room and you're like, what are we doing here? And you're like, you gotta kill each other one by one.
Yeah, this
so
is
that's
kind
not
of a healthy spin on it.
Yes. A very healthy spin, for sure.
Yes.
Dan told me about this movie.
Yes.
And
I told you, okay, to be fair, this is what, I don't know what I'm about to get, but
okay.
My exact words were, I don't know if we should watch this film.
Okay.
Because it's only the last 10 minutes that are good, but the last 10 minutes are worth it.
Yes. So that is true. That is 100% true. The ending of this film is fantastic.
And it's so sad that you only get fucking 10 minutes of it.
My God, because you were telling me that this movie is like a special effects, like wet dream, basically.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, for what we normally see.
Yeah. And this is some of the best special effects I've seen in a long time.
In a long time.
So much so that I like watched it again.
I watched it.
This is
time.
So fucking cool. Did it give you like Tetsuo the Iron Man vibes?
Yes. Like the whole time, like I'm like, this is fucking Cronenberg and Tetsuo all ramped up to 11.
Holy shit. Really crazy. How did you feel about?
Holy shit, we should do Tetsuo.
Like, oh, that is an indie episode. Film, right?
Yeah.
That'd be rough to watch again. I don't know.
That's why I would want to watch it, because I've seen it so many times, but I know you wouldn't want to watch it again.
Dan like locked me in his bedroom when we were kids and made me watch Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Yes.
And I've never been the same. It's a very disturbing, crazy movie. It's I don't even wonderful. Remember what that film was about. It's like a guy gets hit by a car and then people fuck in front of his dead body, and then he turns into like tentacles.
Not really, but see, we're definitely gonna have to watch it again. We'll cover
that's
it
basically
so
the entire film. So
you heard it here, folks. We're going to cover Tetsuo the Iron Man eventually.
Yeah, and I remember the sequel is like it turns into like a fighting Sentai movie, which is weird.
The sequels are terrible, but like the first one is an awesome indie film for sure.
Yeah, it's all black and white. And,
anyway, we're talking about Await Further Instructions.
Are
but
we?
Yes. Yes, definitely Tetsuo vibes, 100%.
Okay, so let's do questions. How did you feel about the acting?
Everything was just... It didn't draw attention to itself. Like, I mean, I guess the acting was natural in what you would consider natural in this movie. You know, people turning on each other being crazy.
Yeah.
It's just... It felt so underwhelming to me. And it wasn't the acting. It wasn't... I felt like the pacing was on point.
Uh-huh.
So I don't necessarily know what exactly I didn't like about this film.
I felt like the characters weren't believable in certain respects. And I thought the acting was fine. It was service. It was good. It might have been the writing, I think. It's some of these lines. Like, these characters are so stupid.
Yeah, I did get that.
These are the dumbest characters. And what's weird is they're not dumb in like a like high school kids or let's go get drunk in the woods, you know, kind of dumb. They're dumb in a very specific way. I think actually that this is what the movie is trying to satirize. So as I was watching it, I was getting frustrated with how stupid these characters are. But then I'm like, oh, wait. Like, these are the people who would do this. It's like, and they're setting it up in such a way that, like, these are the people who would listen to the TV. And I'm like, okay, this is making sense. And they actually set up a lot of lines where they try to justify when a character does an action. So at least there is some justification, you know, like how it talks about how the dad had issues with his dad. The grandfather, and how, like, he's, like, always disciplining him and blah, blah, blah. And if you would have disciplined your kid, he would have turned out differently. And problems with authority and listening to authority figures. All of that kind of coincides with blindly following and focusing on, like, listening, like, basically absorbing everything the news and the media tell you.
So I'm curious.
Including the government.
Right. I'm curious about your opinion, but I said the pacing was good. I like the pacing. How about you? What do you think about the pacing?
Pacing is quick. I think we get into...
Yeah, like, you get the main conflict.
The main premise in, like,
13 minutes
in. Yeah.
13. It's about 13 minutes in, but you also have the individual conflicts that are boiling up, like the racist mark, the fact that he's a black chief of the family. Like, all that is established within 13 minutes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, basically, I didn't really go into it, but there's a outside party to this family who's, like, the black sheep son who doesn't contact the family, and he brings his girlfriend who is not English in, essentially.
Yes.
And everybody's, like, kind of off-put by that, especially dirty old grandpa from the Harry Potter series.
So, she is essentially a foreigner that's moved to England or wherever this takes place, and... But she speaks perfect English, and she's a doctor, and she's probably lived there, like, her whole life, or maybe even born there. And there's a lot of racial undertones in the film from... So, okay, we have all this family that's gotten together for a Christmas holiday, and they normally don't get together. and the son, who's kind of the main character, and his girlfriend is the main character too. They're the most like reasonable and logical of the bunch. Yes. They are estranged. He's estranged from his parents because of how different their views are, I guess, really. Because the dad is super racist, and he's been in wars, so that kind of fucked him up. He's also abusive to his son, who is the father. The father is, I don't know, he's got a deal to him. He's very stern and meticulous. He's sad that his son doesn't call him.
But he's also mad that his son doesn't call him.
Yes.
And it's very, like, he's very unpersonable, I guess. I don't know. Like,
yes,
he's very upset that his son won't call him. But once he gets into the conversation with his son, he drives the son away because it's the only thing he knows how to do.
They had, like, one little scene where he was like, maybe we can have our great Christmas again. And then the son is kind of like, all right, I need to go to the kitchen to help mom or something. Now, mom is a people pleaser. She's kind of like everyone's mom, where it's like, let me fix you something to eat. she's just trying to keep everything together, you know, like what moms do, where she's just like, everything is great. Everything's fine. Nothing bad is happening. I'm just going to try to hold this family together.
Then we have,
she's not as racist as it's the dad or some other character.
Then we have the counterpart to the son. So you have the grown-up daughter who has the same ideals as the parents, but is just as vocal as the son.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of the conflict comes from. And she has a husband named Scott.
Yeah. Right? Scott is just basically a hunk of man meat. And Scott, when called upon, will throw his man meat at whatever the problem is. Is that a safe assessment?
That's a safe assessment.
So, like, he doesn't know how to use his meaty madness.
Yes, but there was a time where you thought that he had meaty brain, but it just turned out to be more meat.
That's right. That's right. It's the meat you all crave. And I think even this now, it's almost like different archetypes of, like, what society wants from people. Like, a big beefy bro who follows orders blindly for his country, you know, like, go out there and fight the other, like, you know, that's that person. Then you have his wife, who is just like very naive about everything, about the world. She doesn't know much about anything, really, just whatever. She's just like in her little bubble,
except for what her parents told her.
Yeah. Or what she hears on the news about foreign doctors, you know, and then they get all weird about that, because, like, they're literally standing next to a doctor who is foreign. And she's like, we got to watch out for them. And she's like, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. And, of course, it gets worse and worse as it goes. I think that angle of being afraid of the other is one of the best parts of the film in terms of dialogue.
Right.
Gosh, I'm torn, because I mentioned earlier that the writing wasn't too good, but I actually think they covered a lot of things.
Basically, okay, would you watch this movie? Would you recommend this movie, I mean?
Yeah, I would recommend this movie.
I would recommend it too, but there's just something about it that was just so humdrum that, you know, I was checking my phone during it, but then it just fucking throws you the biggest bone in the last 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
well,
I guess, I don't know. It pales in comparison. Like, the last 10 minutes of the movie are just this gold mine that you are trying to sift through. It's kind of like, you know, Mr. Pocket. You're looking for Mr. Pocket.
Yeah.
And you found him.
Dan is an old timey prospector, and he's finally hit that little silver nugget, and he's putting it between his teeth and he's biting on it.
Yeah.
Did you think this movie was believable? The characters.
I mean, I'm going to say yes, because I've never been in a situation where I'm trapped with my family at risk of my life.
Well, I meant, like, their personalities and how you think they would react. I guess that is a good answer, though, because, like, you don't know how people would react in a situation like this.
Exactly.
Do you think it would escalate this quickly? I don't know.
I know, I think, okay, so this, the pacing is definitely something that is good, but escalating quickly is definitely something it did.
So it's, like, at first thinking about it, when you're watching it, you're kind of like, is this believable? Would this happen? But that's the point now that I think about it. Like, thinking and reflecting on this movie, these people doing these extremes because the TV or they think the government or whatever, the news is telling them, and they blindly follow it. That's the whole fucking point of this movie, I think. Right. So it's like, the more I talk about it, the more I actually like this movie.
So, because
the dad... What's that?
Are we going to spoil it now?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So the dad hurts people that he loves in this movie so much. It's like... It's dumbfounding to me. Like, would you ever... If you had a son, would you ever punch your son in the face?
No.
I don't know.
Which is insane.
It, like, how could you... There's a point... Okay, this is definitely spoilers, by the way. We're getting the spoilers. There's a point where the dad has his own son tied up because the TV has told him that he's a sleeper cell. And then he needs to extract information from him. And he is torturing his own son with, like, a razor or something.
Yep.
And he's going to gouge his son's eye out. In a span of a day, he's, like, already convinced that this is what's the right thing to do. That's when the writing gets, like, I don't know if any father...
too extreme. Yeah.
Would ever do this just because the TV told... Like, because certain characters start to doubt it. Like, even the sister later on is doubting it after taking the shot.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, the bro is doubting it, and the mom is already doubting it. But this dad is just like... I have to take control of this family. Blah, 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 blah.
So here's the spoiler. It's actually not the government. It's like this strange alien entity that has shrouded the entire neighborhood, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it communicates to you via television screen, which is always on, essentially.
Yes.
So it puts the characters through many different tests. Like, you know, you've all been contaminated. Here, take these take these vaccinations.
Yeah.
And do something with them. Like, and then they all look at the doctor woman, she looks at him and she's like, these needles are dirty.
Yeah, they've been
used. And then the dad's like, well, we got to do it anyway. And the first question I have is, like, now that I know what's going on, how did the alien entity have vaccination needles?
Well, that's the biggest flaw of the movie, is why is this alien technology thing doing this to them?
Yeah, why is it testing them?
Why is it giving them weird needles and pretending it's a vaccination thing? Is it just trying to break them down? Because at some points it's trying to kill them, and at other points they're like, no, it wants us to worship it and praise it as a god. And it's like, that's at the end, it's like telling them, worship me, worship me. And I'm like, okay, I get that angle. It's like the TV thing and the media and the government and everything. I understand that. But then it straight up kills you. It didn't make
sense. Well, no, see, if we're going to take it from that angle, so what you're talking about, without talking about the big thing that we're going to talk about, essentially at the end, it kills all the main characters.
Yeah.
And...
Which I like.
We see that it, yeah, I liked it too. And we see that it has enveloped the entire neighborhood and, let's say, the greater part of Britain.
Yeah.
What I like about that, because if you're coming at it from the perspective of, oh, it's the media that's saying, worship me, but then it kills you anyway. Like, think about that. What's the implication there? Like, the media is still killing you regardless. So I like that implication, and that's why I like the last 10 minutes of the movie a lot.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a self-destructive thing.
Yeah, it's like...
It wants everything from you. It wants your entire being.
And once it has everything from you, then it just wastes you anyway.
Damn. Yeah, it's fucking... Just a terrible lose-lose situation
there. Yeah, it was a very sad... We were watching it, and I think Michelle wanted to watch another movie afterwards because it just left a bad taste in her mouth.
She was like,
it's a sad movie. Like, it does not have a good ending. Well, I mean, not good. Like, I love the ending, but it's very
I would say it's probably sadder than Paddleton. I mean, this is the saddest movie I've ever seen.
No. It's
not sadder than Paddleton. I'm just kidding.
There's nothing more sad than a paddleball.
A quick aside about Paddleballiton. So I've been trying to recommend this movie, Paddleton, to people, because we did last episode, we did a thing about it. And As soon as you start describing what the movie is, no one wants to see it.
It's about this guy who has cancer. Nope.
Yeah, everyone just looks real sad at me. I'm like, no, it's a dark comedy. It's really good. And I'm like, it is sad, but it's really, really good. And like, everyone I talk to about it, they're like, oh, okay. And they're just like, they're not going to see it. And I'm just so sad. It's such a good movie. Like, I want to watch it again with my girlfriend just so she can watch it. Because it's fantastic. Anyways, so we've established all the characters. We've got this weird alien thing. So what I liked is it has enveloped the house completely so that they cannot escape. They can't get through any opening in the house. It's got this black metal, and it's like tube, really thin tubes all connected together. And I loved figuring out that at the end, that those are actually all its little tendrils.
Yeah.
Constricted together, and at the end of each tendril, it has like little cameras where it can see you. And I'm like, this is fucking cool. And how like there's like a slot in the front of the door that like breathes and it moves and pulsates. As soon as they show that, I'm like, oh, this is going to be supernatural crazy shit. Like, I thought, it could be somebody messing with them. It could be something. But, like, I'm like, oh, shit, this is some Cronenberg shit. Yeah. I got so excited.
Well, yeah, because the tendrils in, like, the breathing orifice that you, it just reminds me so much of Videodrome.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I guess it has something to do with Videodrome with the television, and like that was a big critique of media. But it reminded me of Videodrome, but it wasn't ripping off Videodrome. You know
absolutely
what I mean? It kind of did its own thing with media and how we're addicted to it and how we will blindly follow it no matter what.
Yeah, that's the goal of the film. It gets that fucking point across for sure. It's just, sometimes the believability hurts your enjoyment of what's going on. I wasn't particularly bored, though.
So let's. I mean, I hate to do this, but Videodrome is not believable at all because it's so surreal. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This maybe was trying to be a little bit too realistic.
It's more grounded. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's what hurt it.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I think that makes sense, actually. So let's get into a couple of these scenes here. So the dinner scene.
Yes.
They decide they're going to have a regular family British Christmas, despite being locked in the house. Because the dad is like, I need to have some sort of control over this house. So here we go. And they're about to eat. And of course, the grandpa says something racist and the son is yelling at him. And then the dad yells.
Yes.
This is the first moment where I'm like, what is going on in this movie? He like freaks out on them. And I'm like, are they building him up to be a bad guy? Like, what the heck? And then immediately the TV's like, oh, the food's contaminated. So like, why is the TV fucking with them this much? Is it just control? Just to see if the TV can get them to listen?
Well, I mean, we never actually figure out what the aliens' motives are.
Yeah.
So it could literally be anything that we're thinking.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right. Because the main characters guess what the motivations are for the alien thing. And they think like, oh, it can't hurt us. It needs us. And just kind of like with the media and the government, and everything else, like you need people watching the TV.
Right.
To have a TV. Or you need people to be governed. So that makes sense, but then it's like, nah, we can just kill you. Like, you're expendable. There's more of you.
Exactly.
I love that. And that fucking scene, because the sister is pregnant, right? And there's this whole thing about like, oh, like the baby names they're going to name it. I love how the TV manipulates everyone by listening, and it's like,
yeah,
it starts putting the baby names up on the TV, and then the bro guy's like, it knows the baby names. Oh, I'm going to listen to whatever it says. Because now it's like, there's a point where the TV is basically like, oh, I'm God, actually. This is the second coming of Christ. I am the resurrection and the light. And I'm like, whoa. When that happened, I was like, let's go. I was so excited. I was like, finally, this movie's going to get crazy. And it does. It gets fucking out of control. So the sister, she dies. And she, can you actually explain the scene of how she gets hurt?
So All right, so before that, Scott, like, he gives back the needles.
Yes.
Bro, the meat bro.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he puts his hand into this breathing orifice, and they snap his fingers off.
That was
he's bleeding
cool.
everywhere, and it's, yeah. it's fucking rad. And then they sew him back up. So he's been injured, and he is very irritated, essentially. And, he gets into a fight with the son, the black sheep of the family, because
yep.
he and his sister had a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight escalates literally because they go upstairs and the sister is chasing them for some reason.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird how quickly this guy wants to punch the main character in the face.
Yeah, yeah. So he's wanting to do that, and the fight goes upstairs. Uh-huh. The sister follows them, and then he pushes... So Scott, beef dude, pushes the main character into his sister. His sister falls off the railing onto the first floor and breaks her leg.
And
then she dies a slow, painful death from losing blood, basically.
It's just so feral how she's following them upstairs yelling for her husband to beat the shit out of her own brother.
Yeah.
And that's when the movie kind of falls apart for me. But then I'm like, wait, like, is this what they wanted? Like, is this really, I don't know. It's just that escalation of like how much these family members start to kill each other with no provocation, really.
So I think what we're discovering here is the pacing of the actual movie itself is fantastic. But the pacing of the narrative is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's some of this stuff is just fucking out of control, crazy.
So the thematic pacing and the literal pacing of the edits is great. Mm. But whenever we're talking about like the story, it doesn't feel like it develops far enough before it goes on to the next big thing.
And I understand they have to have action and they have to work within the confines of an hour and 30 minutes. Thank you, movie, for being an hour and 30 minutes and not 2 hours, you know, or longer. But there's just something about it. I don't know how they would even fix this issue. That's the hardest thing for me. Well, it's like, I just don't know.
I'll tell you how they fixed the issue, Jared.
Okay.
The last 10 minutes of the movie. Why don't we talk about that?
Yes. So why I wanted to talk about the sister is she falls down and she's getting hurt, and they've quarantined off the main character's foreign girlfriend because the TV says that she's infected, and then they need to quarantine her. So she gets put in a room and locked. Oh, with a dead body, because the grandpa dies from taking the syringe. That didn't make it sense either. Like, why did only he die? Because he throws up like green stuff and the rest of them don't die. Because it made me think, oh, somebody must be fucking with them. And like maybe only one of the syringes was bad and the rest were good.
Right.
But even then it was, I don't know, like stuff like that was kind of weird.
Well, he's old.
Like,
he lived his time anyway. You know what I mean?
I guess. I love that actor. The guy who plays the old man.
He's in Harry Potter. He's in Hot Fuzz. David Bradley is his name.
The end of this movie, a lot of people are dead. The dad is, at this point, has tortured his own son, and he's killed his son-in-law with an axe. The daughter has died from her wounds and injuries because
the mother was
the doctor.
Gassed.
Yeah, the mom was gassed and then exploded from gas.
Yeah, she exploded from a black gas.
I mean, that's me every morning when I wake up, honestly. We can all relate to that.
Yes.
So, a lot of characters are dead. So, we have that pregnant sister's laying on the floor. Let's remember that.
Yes.
The baby might still be alive. Oh, the TV is telling them, to save the unborn child, you must sacrifice someone. And I was like, holy shit! So, the dad is going to kill the black sheep son's girlfriend.
Girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're fighting, they're struggling, and then the dad, he beats up the dad, and then he drops the TV on his head, which is like perfectly poetic.
Yes.
And you think, yeah, they saved the day. And then the like alien thing in the TV starts coming out of the TV, and these like tentacles and tendrils start coming out, and it's so fucking cool. And they do that really neat shot that you see in older films where like they reverse the video and it's like the tendrils are crawling all over them and
right.
Oh, it's so cool. And the fucking the tendrils attach to the dad's back of his head and come out of his mouth and they pick him up like a marionette and they're literally yes. controlling him like a puppet. So it's like you get the imagery and what's going on. But it's some of the coolest special effects.
It's almost the Thing level special effects. It's God ridiculous.
Damn, dude. It was so rad. And the whole house is like falling apart and it's like getting crushed by the tendrils and they're coming out of the walls and shit. And there's only the two main characters left. The main character and his girlfriend. And then they think they figured it out where they're like, oh, you know, like, it needs us to worship it, so it won't hurt us. And they throw a bottle or something at the TV, and it breaks it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does that classic thing of, like, it's sparking and getting hurt, and then you think it's dead. And I'm kind of like, at this point, I'm like, is this really it? Is that all they needed to do was right. throw a bottle at it? And I'm like, that's dumb. But no!
It comes back to life.
Yeah, it comes back to life and just kills them. And I'm like, yeah, that's what would happen. There's no way to write this with a happy ending, right?
And I would say that, like, if you go onto IMDb and then you look at the cover, and the cover kind of gives away the ending, I would still watch it anyway because it's 10 times creepier than the cover. Watching yeah. this happen in real life, it's a nightmare.
So as it's developing them, it kills the two main characters, and then it starts enveloping the sister that's pregnant, and it strips her clean of all of her organs until it's just bone. And then the baby is left. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then it starts talking to the baby. And it's like, worship me, baby. I fucking loved it. And it was so good. So it's like the only one that lives is the baby. And who knows for how long. But it's like, is it going to take care of the baby and just raise it so that the baby only knows the TV and that it's going to become like a weird cult leader? And I'm like, maybe that's what it wants. It wants like 100% devotion to the TV.
Yeah, maybe.
And I'm like, that is so fucking cool. Oh, I love that idea. And it was such cool imagery. I really wanted somebody to escape to the outside though. And like, that's how you find out what's outside.
I don't know. I was kind of okay with nobody making it. You know what I mean?
They could have escaped to the outside and still died. But I guess you do get to see what's outside
eventually.
Maybe after
they see everything that is outside.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any closing thoughts on this, Dan?
It makes me hopeful for the future of special effects. Like,
yeah.
This film let me know that there's still a good presence of practical effects somewhere in the world.
Yeah, you holy shit. I mean? I want everyone involved in this movie to continue making movies.
Yes.
Because this was a worthwhile endeavor, and I think it's worth watching. And pretty cool twist on a standard horror premise, I would say. So it was pretty fucking neat. I think this is the end of the podcast, Dan.
It's a nice short one today.
Yeah.
I mean, the film, like, it literally speaks for itself. Just
yes,
watch yeah. it till the last, you know, just watch it as the whole package, and then you'll feel satisfied.
Yes.
Like, it is a very satisfactory movie.
Satisfactory movie.
Satisfying movie is what I was trying to say.
I'm sorry, Dan. I don't mean to point out all the times you mispronounce words, because I do it constantly. But also, it's for comedy. So, fuck you. Anyways, let's see. You can find us at Facebook at the It's Indie Film Review at Facebook. We're on Twitter at Indie Film Pod, at Indie Film Pod. Gmail at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Email us. Let us know how you feel.
Instagram at the Indie Film Review Pod.
Yes. We are hosted on Podbean. Our home away from home, if you will. Indiefilmreview.podbean.com. Come say hello. Come say goodbye.
Podbean should sponsor us because we say Podbean all the time.
Yeah, fuck you, Podbean. Give us money for sponsoring. I love being overly aggressive for no reason. Find us where you're going to find us. Give us recommendations for movies, independent films you want us to watch. We'll watch them, man. I don't care if you filmed a trash can for 6 hours. I'll watch that shit. Now, I might get up and walk away for a few hours, but I'll definitely see the most, like most of it, or like skim through it. And, but we'll talk about it, is what I'm saying. Like, don't make a film just to bore us to death, because
it's a postmodern masterpiece.
I mean, we'll shit all over it, but yeah, I know it's some Andy Warhol shit where like people are making out for 3 hours. Like, don't do that, but you know, actually try to make a film. We'd appreciate it. So, love you guys. Thank you for listening. Dan, you have the final word.
Shit. Hold on. That took me by surprise. I always forget that this is my last word.
Yeah.
Ho-hum. I'll take it this week. You know, I got shot this week. Wasn't able to guard the bullets.